Lent is a 40-day season, not counting Sundays, marked by repentance, fasting, reflection, service, and ultimate celebration. My topic today is about the reflection part of Lent. As you reflect on your life, what is your spiritual legacy? We can only articulate this by reflecting on our lives in God, in the Spirit, in Jesus Christ, in our relationships with others, and perhaps especially in our church. The story of your past, present, and even future with the divine, with other people, with Scripture, with your own ethics and morality is your sacred story. As you reflect on these aspects of your life, your sacred story becomes a special gift to share with those that you love and your church. A spiritual legacy gives you a chance to leave behind non-physical things such as wisdom and memories. Questions of the heart and soul become dominant as we age. We ask, what is my meaning in life? What is my purpose? Have I fulfilled it? For what will I be remembered? Billy Graham said, the greatest legacy we can pass on to our children and grandchildren is a legacy of character and faith. In Galatians 6, verse 9, we read, so let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. Working on your spiritual legacy is like reaping at harvest time. It is the result of a life of thinking and acting and praying in certain ways. In our scripture reading for today in Philippians 4, 8 through 9, we hear, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. In a written spiritual legacy, you are telling others about your thoughts and actions over time. Hopefully, this will be a blessing for you and your loved ones, and the God of peace will be with you. There are ways to leave a track record of your legacy of beliefs and actions of faith as it relates to loving God, neighbor, and self. Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31 says, the mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak justice. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their steps do not slip. With a spiritual legacy, you are showing what is written in your heart, your history, life lessons and achievements, values and beliefs, and hopes for the future. Cesar Chavez said, true wealth is not measured in dollars or status or power. It is measured in the legacy we leave behind for those we love and those we inspire. In other words, you leave what is in your heart. Another Bible verse related to legacy is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, which says, take care and watch yourselves closely so as neither to forget the things your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. A written spiritual legacy helps you make known the important God events that your eyes have seen. This is what Psalm 78, verse 4 states. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders God has done. Clearly, from these scriptures, thinking about and sharing our spiritual legacy is something that God would like us to do. There's a whole outline of steps you can go through to discern your spiritual legacy, but there are also byproducts of your spiritual life that can give people an idea of your beliefs, faith, and values. First of all, notes that you've written in your Bible or books that you've read. How many of you have a favorite Bible? I have a lot of Bibles, and some of them are heavily marked. If you don't like writing in your Bible, you might put post-its by passages that are especially meaningful to you. Journals are another byproduct of your spiritual life. I used to have a lot of journals, but in my downsizing process, I have lost them. But I do have my daily prayer journal, and that is quite a useful guide to what is on my heart. Also, letters you've written to others, especially your children and grandchildren. I still have letters from my childhood girlfriend, Wendy, who was also a spiritual friend. Even as fifth graders, we used to stay up late on a sleepover and talk about whether God really existed. We still correspond. We still write letters. And these are precious to me. Of course, these days, we also send and receive texts and emails. And some of these are actually worth saving too as part of the track record of your spiritual life. Also, stories, poems, and artwork that demonstrate your God-given gifts as well as your faith. These are also part of your track record. I have started acrylic painting in the last year, and I often paint scenes, not scenes, they're abstracts, but I use nature colors generally and kind of come up with names for my paintings that are related to nature. And part of a very important part of my spiritual life is my love of God as a creator of our beautiful world. Fifth, scrapbooks or mementos highlighting how God has worked in your life. I have one of these, and in it I put prayers and meditations that I've liked. I bet you have a stack of favorite items like this too. Memorial service plans are another source for a track record. The hymns and prayers that you choose and memories that you would like to have shared are part of your spiritual legacy. These are all clues that help you write about your spiritual legacy. As I've said, there are actual steps that you can go through as you work on a spiritual legacy in writing, but first there are some process pointers that might be helpful. First, spend time with God in Bible study. Using a daily devotional such as the Upper Room gives you a good start to the day, especially if you look up the Bible verses that they suggest. Second, pray without ceasing, or at least attempt it, including the Lord's Prayer, and praying for the spiritual and physical needs of loved ones. Third, practice what you preach. Now, we're not all preachers, but we are talkers, and we should be mindful of how what we say might be perceived by others. What we say is part of our spiritual legacy. Practice forgiveness as you have prayed in the Lord's Prayer. Experience yourself as a forgiven person. In other words, write about your feelings as a forgiven person. What does Jesus mean to you? Sixth, take care of yourself in the sense of loving your neighbor as yourself. We are meant to care for and love ourselves, although this doesn't mean to be self-centered or selfish. When you see a beautiful sunset or sunrise, lake, ocean, or mountain, point it out to your loved ones as revelations of the Creator. I remember how when I was a child, my mother used to sing hymns as we drove cross-country on vacations. And this always called our attention to the beauty of the earth. This made a lasting impression on me and is part of her spiritual legacy to me. Consider having a spiritual director or a spiritual companion with whom you can share your experience of God and prayer. This has been a very common practice in the Roman Catholic faith, but we in the Protestant denominations have been a little slow to catch on, although John Wesley talked about spiritual conferencing as a means of grace. And spiritual conferencing is really nothing besides having a spiritual director or spiritual companion. If you're interested in this, there is a website you can go to locate a spiritual director called Spiritual Directors International. Talk about and work toward justice with your loved ones following Micah 6:8. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Have family discussions about injustice in today's world and the God-given inherent value of all people. And finally, foster an attitude of gratitude. Carve out time to recount God's wondrous works. You might even write a poem about it, like this one by James Dillett Friedman. This is God talking. You cannot see me, yet I am the light you see by. You cannot hear me, yet I speak through your voice. You cannot feel me, yet I am the power at work in your hands. I am at work, though you don't understand my ways. I am at work, though you do not recognize my works. I am not strange visions. I am not strange mysteries. Only in absolute stillness, beyond self, can you know me as I am, but a feeling and a faith. Yet I am there. Yet I hear. Yet I answer. When you need me, I am there. Even if you deny me, I am there. Even when you feel most alone, I am there. Even in your fears, I am there. I am there when you pray and when you do not pray. I am in you and you are in me. I am the law on which the movement of the stars and the growth of living cells are founded. I am the love that is the law's fulfilling. I am assurance. I am peace. I am openness. I am the law that you can live by. I am the love that you can cling to. I am your assurance. I am your peace. I am one with you. Beloved, I am there. A few more steps in the process of writing your spiritual legacy. You can talk with loved ones about the gifts and talents God has given them. I treasure the letters that loved ones have given me, thanking for certain talents that I have used. Periodically do a spiritual checkup. Share your struggles and high points with a small group or a spiritual director or companion. You can also try the examine, which is a reflection at the end of the day about how your day went and where you felt God in your day. It's called an examine, E-X-A-M-E-N. Do works of service in the community. And I look out to the group assembled here, and I'm sure people on Zoom, and I think, you know, this is preaching to the choir. So many people here are doing wonderful works of service in our community. But this is part of your spiritual legacy, too. Share how you came to faith, how God continues to make a difference in your daily life. What were you taught by your ancestors? That is part of their spiritual legacy to you. Finally, think about the role of your community of faith in your spiritual journey. What has this church meant to you? This is a long list of processes and actions, and actually they're spiritual practices, but they can greatly aid in your writing a spiritual legacy. So, what are the actual steps in writing your spiritual legacy? First, you write an opening. For instance, you say, I write this to you, my blank, naming the people, in order to, and you explain what your purpose is in writing. For example, I write this to my niece Debbie and my best friends in order that you might know how much you have meant to me and what values, beliefs, and spiritual practices have been important to me. Second, you write your history, past and present, including your parents, siblings, ancestors, children, events that help shape your life, people who strongly influenced your life, things you are grateful for, and things you have loved and love to do still. That also includes roles that you've played in your life, perhaps especially in your church. Third, you write down your personal values and beliefs, specific teachings from spiritual, ethical, and religious sources that have influenced you most. Also include rituals that are important to you. I started here when I began my spiritual legacy, and I got kind of sidetracked by everything I wanted to write down. So this might not be such a good place to start. Fourth, you write your life lessons and main achievements, your ethical ideals and practices that found expression in your life. Fifth, you write down your hopes for the future, suggestions you'd like to pass on. And sixth, you write a closing, with wishes, hopes, and dreams for others, including messages to loved ones, blessings, and asking forgiveness for deeds that you would rather not have done. You write how you want to be remembered and what you wish you'd known at an earlier age. This is a lot of input, I know, and I do hope that we have a chance to do a class on spiritual legacy sometime. Instead of a book study, we would work on our spiritual legacies and share each week the progress that we had made. Most of all, I hope and pray that the process of thinking about and writing your spiritual legacy will be a blessing for you and loved ones. May this time of reflection give you God's peace as you let your loved ones know what have been the guiding principles of your life and what your hopes for them are. Amen.